All you need is love, right? All you need is love. Love is all you really need. Is that right? The Beatles, 1967. 1967, the world was right in the middle, right here we were in the middle of, in this country, we were in the middle of the Vietnam War. Thousands of people were dying. There was turmoil in politics and people, it was really a brutal, brutal time. And so music was saying, listen, all you need is love. Is that really true? You know, love has been a challenge in the past and in the present. And today I'm not talking about marital love. I'm not talking about friendship love. I'm talking about Christian love. But love is a challenge. God has created us spiritual beings, and He's created us with love. And that's why, whether you're a Christian or not, everybody likes the idea of love as the answer. But the world has a different meaning when they say love. All you need is love. They interpret it a little bit differently. A few months ago, headline news, Ellen DeGeneres, George W. Bush, they were spotted sitting together at a Cowboys game, and they were talking, and they were friendly to each other. It was all over the news, and they were like, how can she be friends with him? How can he be friends with her? And she said, I'm friends with George W. Bush. I'm friends with a lot of people who don't share the same beliefs I have. She's talking about civility. That's what the world means when it says love. It's talking about civility, and that's common sense. I mean, that should have never made headline news. That happens. That happens all the time in our everyday life. We practice this all the time. We're a member of clubs, organizations, churches, families. There's always somebody we don't agree with, and yet we still try to get along with them. When the world says all you need is love, they're talking about friendliness to strangers, to people that you don't even care for. You just try to be friendly to everybody. The world defines it like this: you don't have to like them, but you should be friendly to them, to tolerate them. That's what love is, toleration, love. That's what the world says love is. When the world defines love, they mean being a good neighbor, helping somebody out with a little extra money, helping somebody out who's down and out. So we give to a charity. Now, don't get me wrong. All the things I've talked about today, these are all necessary to function in a society that we have. It's necessary in families. It's necessary to tolerate and be civil to one another. And it makes a more peaceful society, but it doesn't solve the love problem. See, you tolerate somebody and you're friendly to them, but you still don't like them. You don't really love them from the heart, but you're friendly to them. We get along with them. There's non-Christian charities out there that provide food and shelter and help. So they do a lot of good helping people out there, but they don't love them. I think one of the biggest challenges that Christians face is that they think love is just being nice to people, just being civil to them, just being kind, just being a good neighbor. But today I'm preaching about Christian love, and that leaves us with questions. What is a godly love? How do I love people that I don't like? How do I love people that I can't get along with, that need help? How do I love them the way Christ loves and not just tolerate them? Well, to really love, you have to take at least three steps. Three steps today. The first step, we must realize that our sin is the reason for the lack of love. So where does love come from? 1 John 4:7 says very simply, God is love. God's nature communicates love. He's always giving. He delights in pouring out His love for us. Adam and Eve were created because God loved them. It says He created them and He blessed them and He told them to be fruitful. God created them and blessed them with love from the beginning. It was very good. We were created in God's love. We were created to do His good pleasure. Adam and Eve lived in paradise. They had a perfect forever love. and their forever life. They were in constant communion with God. They were had a beautiful life. They were loving each other. There was no arguments between Adam and Eve when God created them. There was pure love. And then the serpent starts working on Eve. And he says, listen, God has been ripping you off. God has been lying to you. You need to start thinking about yourself, and you need to eat some of this fruit right here, because if you do, you're going to be as wise as God. So when Adam and Eve sinned, as soon as they sinned, there was anger and there was conflict in the home. So what's the first thing that Adam does after God confronts him about what he's done, eating the fruit? He says, this woman that you gave me, she's to blame. So not only is he blaming the woman, but he's blaming God. Sin enters the world, Genesis 3:12, and it starts conflict. The sin of selfishness has robbed the world of love. Selfishness has, it invaded the first family. And what happened when they had children? Do you remember what happened? One of the sons, Cain, killed his brother. They were raised in a selfish home. Sin had entered and robbed it of love. And it's our sin that robs us of love. Someone says, I'm not going to apologize. I'm upset. No one is listening to me. I'm not getting my way. I'm not having fun. Life is not what I planned. I am upset. I am not being respected. You see those words? I. You can't love as long as that is the focus. If we're focusing on ourselves, we can't love. We are to blame. We are the selfish ones. We're the ones that have lived a self-centered life, and that kills love, and it killed it in the beginning, and it kills it right now. God is not to blame. We are. So before we can truly love, we have to move beyond ourselves. We have to move beyond our own selfish interest. How do we truly love? The second step, we must take to heart Jesus' command to love. When sin entered the world, it infected all life, and the world became full of selfishness and violence. But God, ever loving, never gave up on the world. Now, this next scripture is one that we probably all know by heart, John 3:16. But when you look at this, I want you to notice the emphasis on love here. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus came because of love. He showed us what love was. He lived a life of love. He died a death of love. On the night before Jesus was arrested, he was in the upper room with his disciples, and he was telling them things that they would later remember and that they would treasure in their hearts. And he spoke of love. So if you turn with me here to John 13:34-35, this is what Jesus tells them. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. Jesus says a new command. So why is this new? I mean, because the Old Testament is filled with all kinds of teachings on love. Even Jesus before this had taught on love. Remember, Jesus said, love your enemy. And I found a cute little graphic on this. Love your enemy. But this wasn't a new topic. Jesus is bringing a new covenant. So what's new about it? Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus is saying, here's a new way to love. Now, let me just pause for a second here and say every time that a preacher preaches a sermon on love, everybody's eyes glaze over, because it's hard to penetrate people's hearts, because, after all, everybody already loves anyway. I love already. I'm fine. I mean, I didn't cuss somebody out the other day. I love them. I'm kind to people. I don't like them, but I'm kind. So I love. I help people in need. I mean, I don't want to be around them or anything, but I do help them. Here's a dollar. You know, I'm fine. But I do love people I like. It's hard to preach on love because everybody thinks they already do it. But when all those things that I just said right there, notice the emphasis on the outward appearance. Jesus says, your guide for conduct is the kind of love that I have shown. And Jesus really loved. I mean, Jesus loved people in his day that everybody disliked. He loved the Samaritan woman. He loved tax collectors. He loved, last week I talked about that young leader who was struggling with greed. Jesus loved him. And the man just walked away from Jesus. Jesus loved the crowds. And Jesus loved his disciples. They're all always behind his back, always talking about who was the greatest and complaining about things and talking as if Jesus didn't know what they were doing, but they did it. Jesus loved them. Jesus loved to the point of shedding his blood on the cross. And when he was on the cross of his enemies, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus says, love as I have loved. How important is love? 1 Corinthians 13, Paul has this is a chapter of love. And Paul is basically saying, you can be the smartest Bible learner. You can fathom all mysteries, but if you don't have love, you are nothing. If you totally surrender every possession to the poor and you give your body to be burned, but you don't have love, you have gained nothing. So the challenge is this. We think that we love, but we fall short because we don't love the way Jesus loved, and we think we're all right. Now you may be thinking, how am I supposed to go beyond surface love? How am I supposed to really love somebody? The third step, we must pray that God will fill us with his spirit of love. Jesus told his disciples after he would leave, the Holy Spirit would come. John 20:20, Jesus breathed on the disciples, they received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. On Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized. The 12 were empowered. But then in Galatians 5:22, and this is a very well-known scripture, Galatians 5:22, it starts out with these words. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, when we become a Christian, when we believe in Jesus, we turn from our sins, we're baptized, and God's Spirit comes to live in our heart. But what kind of Spirit is He? He is the Spirit of love. When the Holy Spirit fills us, He takes control of our life. That's what filling means. He just takes control of our life. And that means He fills us with love. The more of the Holy Spirit we have, the more loving we become. Let me say that again. The more Holy Spirit we have in us, more of His Spirit, the more loving we become and the less selfish we become. We have a great example of this in Acts chapter 4. The believers were together, they were praying, and listen to what happens after they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen to what happens, and this is in Acts 4:31 through 35. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. This is a key point, verse 34. And there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land and houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. There's a lot here, but the focus is when the Spirit filled them, selfishness disappeared. They were one of heart and mind, and on their own, they just started selling lands so they could help people in the church. That's what the Holy Spirit does. When He fills your heart, He starts rooting out selfishness, and He starts rooting out envy, and He starts rooting out boasting, and He stops. He puts a stop to flare-ups of anger. He starts melting those grudges, and He starts ending rudeness, and He produces a sweet, giving spirit in a person. See, the world, it forces love. It tries to make the right appearance. It does things for photo ops. All these photo ops all over the internet, they're photo ops. They look good. You got two people that hate each other shaking hands and smiling. That's fake. There's not real love in that. But that's what the world says. God's Spirit makes love a part of our nature. Missionary Andrew Murray described it this way. He said, a lamb is gentle by nature, but a lamb doesn't study to become gentle. It just follows its nature. Now, right now, in this area, we struggle with hogs, right? Hogs, by nature, go out and forage and get into crops. Mama hog does not sit down and teach her babies. Now, listen, I'm going to teach you little babies what to do. We go out into this field over here, and we start getting everything. Why? She doesn't have to do that, right? Because it is a part of the hog's nature just to do that. And that's the way love is. When love gets a hold of us, when His Spirit comes into our heart, our nature changes and we become loving. Now there's one scripture that I don't want you to miss. This is in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. And you probably have never noticed this before. Romans 5:5. It says, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given us. It says God's love is poured out by the Holy Spirit. God loved us first. And when we become a Christian, He starts pouring His love into us. It just starts flowing out of us. It just does it. It just almost naturally, because it becomes a part of our nature. And that is an indicator of salvation. If you don't love people, you don't have God's Spirit working in your life. 1 John 4:20 says, if you don't love people, you can't love God. The more you love people the way Jesus loved people, the closer that you will get to Him. And you will learn how much He loved you. Loving teaches us things when we start loving the way Jesus does. Now, I realize there are those people that are hard to love. They can be rude. They can be unloving. They can be obnoxious. They can be mean and cruel. You're probably having a person appear right in your mind right now. They can be self-centered. They can always be talking about themselves. They can just be sinful. They can have bad habits. Whatever it is, they're hard to love. So how do you love them? Now, you don't just try to tolerate them and try to be nice around them. How do you really love them? Well, you have to ask God to fill you with His Spirit. You have to ask His Spirit to take control of your life, and you have to confess your difficulty, and you have to pray specifically for that person and say, God, I am having a hard time loving this person. Fill me with Your love. Help me love, and it will happen. And your attitude will begin changing, and God's Spirit will guide you to love. It's going to happen naturally if you are open and you're sincere and you really pray that prayer. When He fills us, the nature of God Himself comes into us and He works through divine love. Let me put it this way. When God's Spirit is in your heart, you can love anyone. Let me say it one more time. When you have God's Spirit in your heart, you can really love anybody. Andrew Murray said it this way. God is love. God's love is a fire that burns through every difficulty, every reluctance, and every shyness. Now, it won't happen if we think we're already loving enough, or if we're just too stubborn, or we don't want to, like I said last week, we don't want to totally surrender to Him. So who is it that you can't love? Maybe you tolerate them. Maybe you're friendly to them. But down deep, you just can't stand them. You just can't love them. The challenge today is that you start praying that God's Spirit will fill you with love and forgiveness for that person. As long as you harbor a deep dislike and disdain for a person, you can't have a close relationship with the Lord. You just cannot do it. It's incompatible. So are you willing to pray this week? There's another thing I want you to remember. The people that are hardest to love need God's love the most. And we might be the one that's going to love them. You know, God never gave up on us, did He? Have you ever been tough? Have you ever been tough to love in your life? Can you think of a time when you were just really unbearable? I mean, you were tough to love. You know, I think we all have been tough to love because we have done things that God knows. We have sinned against God many, many times. And God still loves us. And God still pursues us. Next week I'm going to be talking up about Peter and how he was a godly person in some ways, and yet he was very difficult to love. And he actually ended up doing the ultimate betrayal of the Lord. Jesus still loved him. God loves us, even when we're difficult. God loves us even though we sin this week, right? We probably sin this morning, and God still loves us. So the real question is, are you willing to love Him? See, He already loves you. Coming to Him and giving your life to Him and making a decision for Jesus means that you love Him back. You simply are surrendering your life to Him, and you're letting Him take control. You're letting His Spirit come in and take control, and you let Him handle your problems, and you let Him handle your stresses. It's not that hard to love Jesus. We just have to let go of ourselves. So our invitation hymn is that beautiful, simple chorus, "I love you, Lord." So if you have a decision, we invite you to make that today. You can talk to me about anything. Let's all stand as we sing.